Nearly 30% of all bank customers experienced some form of fraudulent activity on their accounts in 2024. How can you prevent it from happening to you? Hi, I'm Rob West. That's a startling statistic that should motivate all of us to take precautions. Aaron Kane joins us today with six steps you can take to prevent fraud with your accounts. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We're delighted to have Aaron Cade with us today. He's Chief Marketing Officer at Christian Community Credit Union and underwriter of this program. Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be with you and your listeners.
Aaron, that statistic comes from J.D. Power in a 12-month study ending last November, and this is staggering. It showed that 29% of bank account holders were affected by fraud in some way. Let's dive into some of these steps we can take to keep our accounts safe.
Rob, as you've said many times, it starts with a strong, unique password.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a mix of letters, upper, lowercase, numbers, special characters, something that is very difficult to guess. You can also use a password manager to generate a complex password and store it so you don't even have to remember it.
That's right.
And then you also want to use two-factor authentication for any of your financial apps. This gives you extra security. It requires that you provide a one-time passcode when you're trying to access the account or execute a high-risk transaction. And therefore, if somebody gets a hold of your password and login credentials, they can't access your account without that passcode.
Yeah.
And it's also important to turn text message preview off on your phone, because the bad guys, if they steal your phone and they can see the passcode, if it's in preview mode.
I hadn't thought of that. That's a great idea. All right. The next one has to do with monitoring. Share that with us.
Yeah. You need to be vigilant in monitoring your accounts and your credit reports very regularly. It's important to be able to detect anomalous activity before much damage has been done. You can get this information for free through the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and annualcreditreport.com. And then you also have to be vigilant for phishing scams, and that's phishing with a PH.
Right.
The bad guys have gotten very clever about luring people into giving them personal information. They'll often use a ruse with a high sense of urgency to trick you into revealing that information. They'll pose as a legitimate company or a government agency and use information you inadvertently give them to access your account and take your money. So never give anyone your username, password, one-time passcode, or account information over the phone, via email, or chat and text. CCCU will never ask you for this information, even if the message appears to be coming from us, because the fraudsters can spoof a phone number or web address. I believe this is true for many other financial institutions as well. And when in doubt, your best bet is to call your credit union or bank directly to verify.
Well, this is great information. So important. I know the next one has to do with your location when you're accessing your information via Wi-Fi. Share that with us.
It's important to use a secure Wi-Fi network. And I know many of us like to sit in coffee shops and conduct work there using a public Wi-Fi. Don't do it when you're accessing your bank account. Hackers can see that information in the clear and use it to access your data. So only use a secure, password-protected network. You can also use a VPN, which is a virtual private network, for encryption. And finally, protect your personal documents. Any documents with personal information you need to shred. And you can get shredders for as little as $35. It's worth every penny. Because the bad guys will go through your garbage to look for information they can use.
Aaron, that is great advice. Now, before we let you go, I know a lot of our listeners have been excited about what you call the Harvest Bundle for both checking and savings. Share that with us.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of Christians across the country opening up a Harvest checking account, which is unique. It pays 4% on the first $5,000 in balances, and then they'll combine that with the Harvest savings account, which pays 5% on the first $5,000 in balances. And it's a great way to kickstart your savings and put money away for the future. And then combine that with our Cash Rewards Visa card, which not only allows you to earn 1.5% cash back, but also gives to missions across the globe, missions that spread the gospel, protect vulnerable children, and combat human trafficking.
It's incredible. Folks, if you want your values aligned with your banking partner, think about joining Christian Community Credit Union. The website, joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. Aaron, great to have you with us.
It was great being with you, Rob.
That's Aaron Cade with Christian Community Credit Union. Back with your calls after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Most people will admit, begrudgingly, they're not perfect. Some may even admit they have sin, whatever that may mean to them. But the world's solution to the problem is simply to try harder. The logic goes, hopefully the good will outweigh the bad when all is said and done. And yet the Bible teaches you cannot be saved by any amount of good works. People are saved only by the grace of God. Acts 13:39 says, "Through Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you're not able to obtain under the law of Moses." And so, we don't trust in our own strength, but only in Jesus are we set free by grace through faith. Get more daily encouragement from Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Well, so great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. If you'd like to join the conversation today, it's quick and easy when you call 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Why would you call that number? Well, together each day on this program, we help you make decisions in your financial life based on the principles we find in God's Word, marrying God's timeless truths with the practical decisions and choices you need to make each day as a steward of God's resources. And that's what we all are. Our goal, well, faithfulness to the opportunity that has been given to us. That's right. Each of us, according to our ability, needs to steward or manage or care for what God has entrusted to us, however little or however much. Some may find themselves, as you listen to my voice right now, in a season of plenty, of abundance. You have more than you need. Others might be in a season of scarcity where you're looking to figure out how you're going to make that next payment. And maybe you're feeling a little like you're drowning in debt and just trying to figure out how to make a path forward. And, you know, typically there's more month than money on a monthly basis. Well, we want to help you in either scenario and even in between as we think about how to hold loosely what God has entrusted to us,
recognizing money is a good gift from God. We want to use it as a tool to accomplish his purposes. So if you have a question today, we'd love to tackle it. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Before we head to those phones in the news today, a third of U.S. adults have layoff anxiety. That's the result of a survey of 1,000 Americans by the business financing firm Clarify Capital. It also found that Gen Zers fear being laid off the most, with 40% indicating they worry about it. The January jobs reports was underwhelming and probably didn't help. The economy created only 143,000 non-farm jobs, which was less than expected. The survey also showed a shift in how workers feel about their jobs. Two-thirds said they now put job security as a priority over career growth. Now, one-third said they would take a 10 to 20% pay cut to avoid being laid off. Now, while a certain amount of layoff anxiety is always to be expected, experts say that fear can be channeled into things that enhance job security. They encourage workers to take advantage of any resources their employers offer to build job skills, including certification programs, perhaps online classes, even continuing education courses. Seems like those efforts are always a good idea, but they're even more important if you're concerned about being laid off. So we want to work as unto the Lord. Remember, ultimately, we're working for the Lord Christ. We're not working for our employer. And so we want to do everything in a way that honors him. We are clearly in Scripture under a biblical worldview to work hard with our hands. Remember, we were created in the image of a worker himself. God creates out of nothing. We take his creation, the latent potential in it, and we improve it and order it and use it for flourishing and to love our neighbors and to promote the good in the world. And there's a virtuous cycle there as we work hard and we give back that allows us, I think, to flourish in a way that God intended. But good news is the job market is still relatively strong, although we'll certainly keep a close eye on that. All right, let's head to the phones today. We're going to tackle your financial questions. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. The calls are coming in, but we've got room for a few more. Let's begin in Virginia today. Hi, Dan. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your program when I get to listen to it.
Well, thank you, sir.
It's required in a steward to be found faithful, and yes, my wife and I want to be faithful with God, with what God has given to us. I'm retired. We're both 68. A few years ago when we bought this house, we did some renovation. We borrowed money and got a term life insurance plan at that time. We have no debt now at all. And I have a pension from the place that I worked with. And we have Social Security. She's still working some. I just wanted your thoughts on that term life policy. Of course, the premiums keep going up.
Yeah. So you are beyond the original term that you took it out for. Is that right?
I thought it was a term policy.
Okay. Yeah, it may not be. I mean, the idea behind what they call a level term is that during the term, the premiums stay the same, and then they increase dramatically at the end of the term, whether that be a 10-year term, 20, even a 30-year term. And, normally you would either drop it or replace it at the end of the term because it becomes cost prohibitive. The question I would ask, though, even before that is this, and this is maybe why you're calling today, is this even a necessary expense? Because when we take a step back and we say, okay, what is the purpose of the life insurance? Normally, the way we view life insurance is we have it during our working years while we're building assets to offset a risk, namely the risk that you or your spouse would pass away, your income would go away, and that would create a hardship for the surviving spouse. And so that life insurance is there primarily to fill that gap and provide a death benefit that would then be able to produce the equivalent income or pay off a mortgage. And then perhaps thirdly, most commonly, folks will say, all right, I want to 10 to 12 times my income. I want to pay off the mortgage and I want to fund a college, education for each of my kids. And if I knew all of that was covered, then if I pass away, the Lord calls me home, you know, my spouse has what he or she needs to, you know, continue to maintain their lifestyle. But in this case, you're debt-free, you've got your income, you know, in place through your pension and perhaps Social Security. You know, you don't have, you know, college educations to fund. And so this expense, it was necessary during your working years. Now it really isn't. And so you could redirect that into more productive purposes like savings, like additional giving, things like that. But give me your thoughts on that.
I thought that's the type of thing you were going to say. And it is the fact that if I died, I believe my wife would be fine without the insurance. We do have some savings and other income from investments, and my pension and Social Security and her Social Security. And I mean, I really believe she could be fine without the life insurance.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other factor here that you pointed out earlier is it is going to get more and more costly over time. And so the idea that you would go ahead and eliminate this expense, which would give you an immediate savings now, it's going to get even, you know, more beneficial for you to cancel it, just because in the future, to maintain that death benefit as you age, and therefore, you know, the mortality tables are going to work against you as you get older, that's going to make that death benefit more costly. And so I think, you know, taking this money, you know, and redirecting that into savings or, you know, whatever it might be, I think makes a lot of sense. So if it truly is a term policy, then you'd just cancel it. If it's not, and perhaps it's something different than you thought, I would certainly look to see if there's any kind of, cash value that has accumulated. Perhaps not, but it's a little interesting that you're saying the premium is already increasing and you believe you're still in the original term. That would not normally be the case. So I think that's my best advice, is just to really scrutinize whether this is necessary. And if it's not, let's get rid of it and get it back in the budget.
Okay. Is that music? Do you have to go?
I do, but I will be back quickly. So if you have a follow-up question, if you don't mind staying right there.
I do have one more question. Yes,
okay.
Please.
Great. Absolutely, Dan. Stay right there, and we'll tackle that on the other side. Folks, we've got room for additional questions in the remainder of the broadcast. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
8 Days of Hope is thankful for ministry partners like Provia, a manufacturer of residential exterior building products. Provia's mission is to serve by caring for details, and each employee strives to do that every day. Provia combines automation and human craftsmanship in creating your doors, windows, siding, stone, and metal roofing. More about Provia's mission and products can be found at provia.com. That's Provia.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. We exist to help our supporters to leave a lasting legacy for years to come. We would love to speak with you regarding your situation to help put in place a lifetime income. while also giving to the ministry of AFA and AFR. You can reach out to us by phone or email at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance, right here on American Family Radio, helping you live out a biblical worldview and pursue faithful stewardship in your financial life. I'm Rob West. We've got, looks like, three lines open, 800-525-7000. If you have a financial question today, you can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Dan in Virginia. And Dan, I know you had a second question. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. My wife's grandmother years ago had a stroke in her 50s and ended up in long-term care. My wife's mother had circulation issues and some strokes and that sort of thing, and ended up 11 years in assisted living and memory care. Because it started with circulation issues, it ended up as Alzheimer's, but it's very sad. A few years ago, we took out a long-term care policy for ourselves. And I don't remember all the details. It's good for like two and a half years for one. And if they have to be in there longer than that, then the other persons can apply to it, but it's a total of 5 years. I forgot all the exact benefits. The price on that is going up too. And I know it's hard for you to make that decision for me. The life insurance one is pretty easy, but this one is a little tougher, I think.
Yeah.
You got any input on that?
Sure. Talk to me about kind of how that premium as it sits today fits into your budget. Is it becoming problematic, and could you absorb future increases?
It is. We can afford it right now. It's not breaking us by any means.
Yeah. All right. This is a challenge because, your biggest risk in this season of life is, in fact, the need for long-term care, which could run, $10,000 a month if you needed to go into full nursing facilities. And I think the other factor here is just that you do have a family history, which, is just something to consider. It doesn't mean that's necessarily you will, but it does play into this. So, I like the fact that you've got it. If it does become cost prohibitive in the future, you've got, some options, meaning, you could reduce the benefits. So you could go back to them and say, all right, it's getting too expensive for us. I'd like to talk about a shorter coverage period, a lower daily payout. That would help you keep the premiums more manageable, because I'd rather you not drop this, just given the investment you've put into it. You've already, you got it in place. And I think having some sort of long-term care, whether that's the full policy that you have today because you can sustain it, or some reduced level of benefit to keep it cost-effective in the future, does make some sense. And I think that is a risk worth offsetting. Whereas with the life insurance that we were talking about before the break, that risk is gone. This need for long-term care is obviously paramount and, very real. And if you have a history of needing it, or your family history of needing it, the risk of requiring care is even higher. So I think I would try to maintain it. Especially if you have a limited ability to self-fund, given the kinds of, annual costs this could require of you. Keep in mind, most people only need long-term care for somewhere around 2 to 3 years, once they get to that place. But those can be very expensive years and could, erode your assets in a hurry. So I think keeping this in force and then managing it over time to keep the premiums, where they're affordable, even if you have to cut some benefits, I think does make some sense.
Okay, that's very helpful. I wasn't expecting that answer, but that is very helpful, and I thank you very much.
I'm happy to do it, Dan, and that's my best advice. I think at the end of the day, you're the steward, so you need to pray through it and make that call, but hopefully it gave you some things to think about. Thanks for being on the program, sir. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Patrick. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes, I have a quick question. At the beginning of the year, I always make a contribution from savings to my Roth IRA. And at the beginning of the year, I put in $4,000 at the beginning of the year, and I have an opportunity to do something else. So I'm leaving my part-time job. I'm 62 and about to retire. And I was just curious, what do I need to do if I have more deposit in my Roth IRA than I have earned income?
Yeah. Well, so you'd want to withdraw that excess contribution to make sure that you don't have any kind of penalty. If you remove the $4,000 plus any earnings on it before the tax filing deadline, then you could avoid penalties. Any earnings withdrawn will be taxable and maybe subject to the 10% penalty if you're under 59.5. So that would be the typical approach. If you don't remove the excess, the IRS charges a 6% penalty each year. It remains in the account. And so you do want to go ahead and get it out of that. If you already filed your taxes, you would need to file an amended return, the 1040X, if you withdraw the contribution after the filing. So that would be really the next steps on this.
Okay. No, that's what I need to know. Also, I didn't know there was a 6% penalty. So you answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you so
Very
much.
Good. Absolutely, Patrick. Thanks for your call, sir. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Sean. How can I help?
Hey, Rob, I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that AFA's doing. I've got a question about being a trustee. I've got men's leaders that come to me yesterday and asked if I'd like to be a trustee along with our pastor. He wanted him to be a trustee as well, and he's a trustee as well, and he's also a power of attorney, and the guarantor has basically wanted him to do this contract and fill it out and everything for us to be trustees over everything, all his assets, his medical, you know, everything. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
So let me make sure I understand. Somebody's asking you and others to be co-trustees and POAs for their affairs?
Well, he's the POA, and we're basically trustees, so if there's any issues as far as money that needs to come out of the account, because he's going to be taking care of all of his accounting and all that, so if there's anything that needs to be taken care of as far as, like, medical bills and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tackle that question. This is Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open today, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Sean in Oklahoma. He is a co-trustee on an irrevocable trust for a 90-year-old gentleman. And then one of those individuals, one of the three, not Sean, is the power of attorney for this man. And he's just wondering, Sean, if I understand correctly, is this advisable, to have co-trustees for an irrevocable trust? First of all, you absolutely can't. Well, let me back up even before that. I'm not an attorney, so get legal advice on this before you make decisions, but I'll just talk generally here. Can you have co-trustees on an irrevocable trust? Yes, absolutely you can. So they share the responsibility of managing the trust assets, whether revocable or irrevocable. The trust document specifies their powers and whether they have to act jointly or make decisions, or whether they're allowed to make decisions independently. And then each trustee is a fiduciary, which means you have to act in the best interest of the beneficiary. Why would you do that? Well, it's a shared workload. There can be checks and balances. If one trustee resigns or becomes incapacitated or passes away, you can continue managing the trust without disruption. You may have one trustee that has specialized experience. Maybe one has legal knowledge, one is skilled in investments, that kind of thing. The downside is it's just more complex. You have potential disagreements. They can disagree on decisions, and that can create disputes or delays, creates, slower decision making. You also could have some legal liability for the trust management if one trustee makes a mistake. So that's where I would get some legal counsel on this. Typically, you have a trustee and then a successor trustee rather than the co-trustees. Is it more advisable to do one or the other? I think for simplicity and efficiency, people normally go with a single trustee. But if you feel like you have a large, complex trust or you need checks and balances, that's where the co-trustees may be a better choice. So I, again, would get some legal counsel. But is that helpful?
Yes, sir. That helped a lot.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm glad you're thinking about this, Sean, because it's not a role to take lightly. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Did you have a follow-up on that?
Oh, I was just thanking you, Rob, for
all right.
Services.
Awesome. Happy to do it, Sean. Call anytime. God bless you, my friend. Let's go to Missouri and talk to Rachel. Hi, Rachel. Go ahead.
Good morning. I missed the top of the program, but you were discussing harvest checking and saving. Can you give me some more information on that?
I'd be happy to. So our friends and underwriters at Christian Community Credit Union have been wonderful partners here at Faith and Finance. Many of our listeners have opened accounts with them and are really enjoying that relationship, primarily because not only do they have competitive products and interest rates, but I think increasingly, believers are saying, I want to do business with across the board, my investments, my banking, other services with organizations that share my Christian values and aren't going to, you know, use their profits or do anything that would be counter to my values as a Christ follower. And so I think that's where, you know, Christian Community Credit Union, the only requirement to join the credit union is that you have to be a professing Christian. And then, you know, you can be a part of it and, you know, they're going to do things that are aligned with your values. They also take a part of the profits and support Christian ministries all over the globe. We were talking today about the Harvest High Yield Checking. It runs at 4% APY for balances up to $5,000, which is, you know, to get 4% on a high yield on a checking account is almost unheard of. And then there's the High Yield Savings, the Harvest High Yield Savings, which offers 5%. Again, up to $5,000, and then it's tiered after that. But no minimum balance, no monthly service fee. You know, you can have one Harvest checking account per member, and if you have a Visa debit card on it, portion of that goes to ministries and missions. But it's a wonderful offering, something I think, you know, a lot of folks ought to look at. And the way you'd learn more is to go to joinchristiancommunity.com. Again, that's joinchristiancommunity.com. Is that helpful, Rachel?
Very helpful. Thank you so much. Enjoy your program. We listen to it regularly.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for calling today and being a part of it. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today, room for you between now and the end of the program. So give us a call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. To Oklahoma. Hi, Greg. How can I help?
I'm here. How you doing, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah, I try to listen to you every day when I'm around the radio. But I've recently retired. I'm 70 years old and invested in a 401k every paycheck, and also my employee invested into it. It was kind of like a generic deal.
Yes.
And now that I'm retired, I have quite a bit of money in there, but I know absolutely nothing about the markets or the stock market. I just kind of let them do it. They're trying now. They want me to get a personal advisor, but I listen to you every day. And basically what I need to do is probably because some medical expense probably take about $15,000 out to begin with. But I'm looking at, you know, to reinvest it for someone who knows more than what I do. And my wife keeps saying about we need to invest some in gold. And I'm kind of worrying about that also.
Okay. Well, it's a great question, Greg. Listen, you and your wife have worked and saved a long time to have this nest egg, and that's great. And I think now is that season where we do need to think about, you know, when we're in the 401k, we can kind of, you know, pick one of those life cycle or target date funds and just let it go or put it in some mutual funds. But now we really need to shift into this mode of both capital preservation and growth, so that we're focused on preserving what you've got, but also growing it appropriately for the future. Because, you know, even at 70 years old, we need to be thinking, you know, 2 to 3 decades out for this money to last, which is why even at 70, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to having somewhere between 30 and 40% in stocks. Now, maybe they're not all the high flying growth stocks, but, you know, maybe, in some value, you know, dividend paying stocks, in that 30 to 40%. Maybe it is 30%. You put as much as 10% in gold, which I would like a lot. A lot of times I'll say, let's do a 5% allocation of physical gold. We'll call that your forever allocation that you don't plan on selling. You put it in a safe and you give it, you know, away at death. And then maybe the other 5% comes by way of a gold tracker, like an exchange traded fund. And then we've got some in stocks, and then the bulk would be in fixed income type investments, high quality corporates or government bonds, things like that. So I think that makes sense. I do think having an advisor who could manage that for you, just given your, you know, being a novice in this area, which I understand you've been focused on a lot of other things, and we each have our skill sets. And so having a professional that could come alongside you and your wife, understand what are your income needs, what are your risk tolerances, how much, you know, what other assets do you have? You know, all of those things factor into this. At some point, you'll start having to take a required minimum each year. But having somebody build that investment strategy with all of those things in mind, I think makes a lot of sense. And to the extent you want to, could even make sure that those investments are aligned with your values as a Christian. So what I would do is head to our website, if you're comfortable doing that, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And right at the top of the page, it says find a professional. And you could do a zip code search for all of the certified Kingdom advisors in the investment area in Oklahoma. And I'd interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit. And they could tackle all of these issues. That withdrawal will be taxable, so don't let that catch you by surprise. I've got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown. Thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In our final segment today, we'll try to get to as many calls as we can. Let's head right back to the phones to Arkansas. Gavin, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a question. After the FBI released last year, after AT&T and Verizon got hacked, that it's best not to use a cell phone number as a form of 2FA or two-factor authentication. And that's how I end up losing $5,000 from using that method. So I was going to see if you could give us some light.
Yeah, and so I'm not completely familiar with what you're talking about. I know there was a warning against using the text messages for SMS for two-factor authentication because of security vulnerabilities. So, and that I think was in the wake of cyber attacks and so forth. And so, you know, a more secure method would be an authentication app, you know, which more and more of these companies are offering, because, you know, that would then ensure that you have a more of an encrypted solution, that could, you know, keep you free from, you know, potential cyber threats. Is the likelihood high of that? No, it's not. But, you know, I think that would be a way to safeguard yourself. So an authentication app would be like the Google Authenticator or an app called Authy, A-U-T-H-Y. They are certainly more secure than the SMS-based two-factor authentication. Because, you know, they generate the codes locally in the app, which it makes it not vulnerable to, you know, some of these, something called SIM swapping, where they get the SIM card out and they can essentially be able to intercept that.
But, you know, apart from that, I would say, you know, that would be probably the easiest way for you to go about this. Of course, you always want to keep your phone software up to date and only install apps from trusted sources. You want to have, you know, a strong lock screen protection, whether it's, you know, password or fingerprint, to ensure the phone is encrypted. But I think the if you're trying to kind of avoid what they were describing in that alert, it would be moving toward an authentication app versus the SMS two-factor.
Okay. I appreciate you.
Absolutely, Gavin.
Faith in finance.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening and for your kind remarks, sir. Let's go to Mississippi. Greg, how can I help you?
Hey, good morning. Number one, thanks for taking my call here. But I'm in my 60s and recently got a job where I'm making more money than I ever need to. I mean, I can live on $30,000 or $40,000 a year, but just looking at my W-2 for last year, a little over $200,000, and there's really no end to this job, as all the other guys there go well into their 70s doing this job, and it's just based on what we know in our past. But my call is, you know, I know about Googled like 401k or IRA or something where it says like at my age, a maximum amount is $8,000 a year I could contribute.
That's right.
But I'm not really well versed in any of that stuff. My question is, if I went and got an IRA, a Roth IRA, a 401k, and I don't know if there's any other financial instruments, how much total, if I had all those, that I could throw money into? As you can probably ascertain by what I've said, I just don't need this much money. And but yeah, if I could throw it into like those accounts, that'd be great.
Yeah, very good. Are you considered self-employed or are you W-2?
I got a W-2 contract.
Okay. And do they give you access to a retirement plan at work?
There is. I mean, I saw on the W-2 where they took out like $20,000. I'm not really sure, to be honest, what that goes into.
So. Okay. Yeah. I think that's perhaps your first, question is to call the HR department and find out, what you have access to and what you're currently funding, if anything. But your 401k at work as a W-2 employee through salary deferral, you don't make direct contributions. It has to come out of your check. That's going to give you the most potential to put money away, because if you're between 60 and 63, you can put up to $34,750 for 2025 into the plan. And, you know, when you include the employer contribution, it goes all the way up to $81,000. So there's, you got quite a bit of room there that could be put in through what you put in plus the matching portion if they offer that. If not, then it would just be the portion that you could put in, which again would be for your age, $34,750. Then on top of that, you could put into a Roth IRA, as long as you have earned income, and you do. When you're over 50, you can put in up to $8,000. And if you haven't filed your 2024 return yet, last year's return, then you could go ahead and make that a 2024 contribution and then turn around and put another $8,000 in for 25. And if you're married, you could do the same for your wife, whether or not, she is working as a spousal IRA. So that would allow you to put in quite a bit of money, but your biggest opportunity is going to be in that 401k if you have one. And so I would get on with your HR department and, talk to accounting or whoever it is, and perhaps just get that maxed out through salary deferral, since you don't need this money, and that would get it in a tax deferred environment.
Super. Is there the other thing, which is just a plain IRA? Could I contribute to that also, or would I be limited to the Roth?
You'd have to do one, the combination of the two. You can put into both, but you can't, between the two of them, you couldn't put more than $8,000 for last year and $8,000 for this year. So you could put four in one and four in another, or seven in one or one in the other, or eight in one and zero in the other, but you can't go over eight in any IRAs in total.
And my wife, who does not work, but I could open up a Roth IRA for her also. And
that is absolutely correct. So as a non-working spouse, you can also have an IRA with the same contribution limits.
Okay. All right. Well, super. Thank you. That gives me something to work with.
All right. Good. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate your call today. To Iowa. Hi, Perry. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. It's a two-part question. The first part is, what's the best way to protect yourself from identity theft? And the second part is, our home is paid for, and what's the best way to protect ourselves so somebody can't come in and put a mortgage on it or a lien on it without us knowing about it?
Yeah, great question. So let's start with the identity theft piece. The best way, hands down, to protect yourself against identity theft is to freeze your credit at all three credit bureaus. This is free. It'll put a four-digit PIN number on your credit file. You'll want to do it for you and your wife. And that would prevent someone from coming in an unauthorized way, opening an account in your name fraudulently, because when they attempt to do so and they try to pull the credit, which they always do, they would not be able to because they don't have the PIN number. So that's number one. I think the second is to use strong, unique passwords. So unique, meaning that's not the same one across all your accounts. And strong, meaning, you know, you've got a long string of characters, and I would probably use a password manager to generate those passwords and then store them securely. Third would be what's called two-factor authentication. It's what we talked about with a previous caller. And to his point, you know, most people do it through SMS messaging, text messaging, where the two-factor is sent to you. That's not as secure as what's called an authenticator app. And so all of these banking and, you know, other companies that offer two-factor authentication will allow you to use an authenticator app, and that would be the most secure way. Google has one. There's a number of others. You also want to make sure that, you know, you're not using public Wi-Fi to log into your secure accounts. You want to make sure that you're checking your credit reports regularly. I know I'm giving you a lot here, but I'll just kind of finish up with be aware of phishing scams as well. Don't click on links in emails or give out your information over the phone, no matter who somebody says they represent, unless you've initiated the call or you've, you know, you'd gone directly to their website to get their phone number or information. Does that all make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. So those would be kind of some best practices. With regard to your house, you know, we don't think it's worth the money to get what's called title lock insurance because it doesn't lock anything. It only notifies you if someone attempts to falsify your deed, which you can do on your own. And if somebody tried to foreclose on you because somebody fraudulently transferred your deed, took out a mortgage that was not paid, well, they wouldn't be able to because that would be fraudulent. And you can't foreclose on someone that would be, you know, fraudulent conveyance. And so it would be thrown out in court because of the fraud. So what do you do? Well, I would contact your county records office and see if, many of them now offer this, they can place an alert on your particular record such that if there was ever any changes, you would be alerted to it. And that's free, and that would probably be a great defense, and it doesn't require you to spend any money, which, again, I think is unnecessary. It's a very low risk, and they're not doing anything you can't do yourself.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, Perry, thanks for calling today. Josh, I apologize we didn't get to your call today there in Arkansas. We'd love to get you scheduled to be first up tomorrow. If you want to hold the line, Sandy, we'll see if we can get you scheduled for tomorrow's broadcast. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. Man, we covered a lot of ground today, a lot of great questions. Really appreciate so many of you talking about how the program has blessed you. And if that's the case and you want to be one of our partners to help us get this message of faithful stewardship to more people, I would invite you to be a FaithFi partner. It'd be a real blessing to us. And part of the way we say thank you for being a FaithFi partner at $35 a month is we'll send you 4 issues of our new magazine, Faithful Steward. You'll love it. And pre-release copies of all of our studies and devotionals. Our next one coming out in the next 30 days on the book of Ecclesiastes. Just go to faithfi.com and click give, faithfi.com. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Jim, Devin, and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.